Hare Krishna, everybody. Sorry for the confusion. Tonight we're going to do the third and final part of the Krishna Katashtaka. 8 verses spoken by Sudha Goswami to the sages of Naimisharanya at near the very end of the Bhagavatam. This is in the 12th canto. And the last 2 verses we're studying are 54 and 55. So before we begin, Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Now eventually we will need a Haribol Narantra Prabhu, nice to see you. A drummer. We're going to have a little bhajan also going in, so I hope that'll manifest in a little while. So, forgot one. Oh, you're doing it, okay. Next. So first we're going to review what we learned in the last couple of sessions. These are 6 verses. So the first verse, Sankirtimano Bhagavan Ananta, the Sudha Goswami describes that into the hearts of those who nicely hear and chant his glories, Krishna enters and cleanses away, quote, every trace of misfortune, just as the sun removes the darkness or as a powerful wind drives away the clouds. So these 2 analogies are given. The classic one of the sun rising in the heart and dissipating the darkness. But also, just to make sure, in case there's a big cloud cover. Okay, thank you. In case there's a big cloud cover and the sun doesn't remove all the darkness, then the powerful wind also is given. So in all cases, this is the most efficient and powerful way to cleanse the heart in this age of Kali. And then the next verse talks, gives contrast. Mishagadastha asatira satkata. That we have to give up material sounds, which are simply false and useless, and hear and chant only sounds related to Krishna, which are truthful, auspicious, and pious. So this is the, there's always, as we described, vidhi nisheda. Vidhi means the do's and nisheda means the don'ts. If you want to achieve any kind of goal and go down any path, even the material path, there are the proper things that you need to do and there's also things that you have to refrain from. Suppose you are given some prescription by a doctor, you have some disease, so he's going to give things that you need to do, such as a proper diet, and things you refrain from, don't get a chill and so forth. Now this is the same thing as here. We have to avoid bad association and harmful sounds and drink up the nectar of Krishna Katha. And so then the next verse describes some wonderful qualities of Krishna Katha. Tadeva satyam, tadohaiva mangalam, tadeva punyam, bhagava gunodiyam, and so forth. And here's some of the qualities to keep in mind, that it's all attractive. Now we discussed throughout these days, this little seminar, how even though we may not find Krishna Katha all attractive, although we must have found it somewhat attractive, otherwise we wouldn't be here, we should know that it's supremely attractive, especially when we purify our senses. It becomes more and more attractive because it's naturally attractive. And very relishable, ruchiram, ever fresh, unlike material sounds, which eventually get stale and you want something new. An eternal festival for the mind, shasvan manaso mahotsavam. Because after all, I don't know if you've thought of this, but we chant Hare Krishna, we chant our kirtans, and we chant our bhajan, and we chant our japa. But ultimately, we have to get to the point where we want to chant eternally. We want to never stop chanting. That's what it means to go back to Godhead. If we're going to always be thinking of Krishna, always be hearing about Krishna, chanting and serving like that. So that's the natural state for the living entity. And our lack of interest that may arise at a certain point, this is due to Maya. This is due to the modes of nature. So, but in truth, eternity, hearing and chanting, glorifying Krishna, serving Krishna is an eternal festival for the mind. And it dries up the ocean of misery, shokarnava shoshana. So that's also gives us a little hint for the Sankirtan movement, because this is definitely a world of misery, dukkhalayam, ashashvatam. So the remedy for all of this difficulty within our hearts and outside is Krishna Katha, beginning with the chanting of the holy name. So here's our famous crow and swan. And now he goes back on the other side. What did he say? Nayad vachas chitra padang hare yasho jagat pavitram pragunita karachit. Now this verse is also spoken in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, in the fifth chapter, as we pointed out. Vishwanath Chakravarti describes it as like bij mantras. This verse and the next two appear both at the beginning and the end of the Bhagavatam. Very important verses. So on the other hand, words that may be very attractive materially, but don't glorify Krishna, are meant for crows, not for the swan-like devotees. So one of the lines, yatra chutas tatra hisadavo mala. Wherever there is a chuta being glorified, there the swan-like devotees want to gather and they want to hear. Otherwise they reject it. On the other hand, he goes back and forth, words that may be imperfectly composed, but that glorify the Lord are heard, chanted, and relished by the wise devotees. And this is again a verse so important, Prabhupada chose it to bring it into his preface as an inspiration. Tad bhagvasargo janataga viplavo. Some of you may know this verse, maybe you can join in. Tad bhagvasargo janataga viplavo yasmin pati shlokam abadha bhakyapi namanyanantasya yashonkitani bhak shrinvanti gayanti kunanti sarava. The saravas. So, words, they may be, it means that every verse may be, have a mistake, you know. As opposed to the Chitrapadam, where every verse is perfectly composed, but there's no Krishna, that's crows. But every verse is imperfectly composed, the swans go there, if it's only about Krishna. There's a famous story where Prabhupada was, you know, he'd go to the Gurukul school sometime in Dallas. And they would give him presents, the little kids would give him presents. So you know how kids, they love to draw pictures, you know. So one little kid, you know, 6-year-old, drew a picture of Krishna, very crude, you know. Playing the flute. But Prabhupada liked it so much because the heart was there. He pasted it on the back of the seat in front of him in the airplane and he was chanting his japa to that picture the whole way to the next place. Indicating that, you know, Prabhupada accepted that because the sincerity was there. So the similar thing is there for words about Krishna. So, now the next verse, Naishkarmim Appajitta Bhava Vajitam, deals with other activities besides Krishna consciousness. That also are which don't get us to the final goal. Devoid of anything to do with the Lord, even non-fruitive activity aimed at impersonal liberation is far inferior to bhakti activities. In other words, such activity is impersonal, trying to get to Brahman. What to speak of fruitive activities, though they may conform to the strictures of Karmakanda section of the Vedas. So this is the different kinds of aspirations that people may have. Right? Most people are just trying to live in this world, but those who are aware of something of the Vedic knowledge, they may try to go to heavenly planets or do only pious activity so they won't suffer in hell. And then there are those who subscribe to the impersonal view in the Vedanta, and they try to perform such activities to go to Brahman. But all of them are inferior to bhakti. And so, okay, so this is this verse. I think we have to skip this one. Go on. Okay. So go on. Okay, I left a few of the other ones in there. I was kind of in a rush. So now, before we deal with the final two verses, so that was just a review of what we learned so far. Basically, that hearing and chanting is very powerful. It cleanses all the abhidhas in the heart. And we should avoid material vibrations. And when we become purified, we'll actually experience Krishna Katha as ever fresh, eternal festival for the mind, ever increasingly attractive. And then he quotes these verses about the swan and the crow and so forth. So now we're just going to have a little bhajan interlude before we continue with the last two verses of the Krishna Kathashtaka, describing the fruit, just as the coming attraction of all of this hearing and chant, constant remembrance of the Lord's lotus feet. And he describes the benefits of that. So this is this famous song, Bajahode Manashri Nanda Nandana. I don't know if I did it here once before. Oh, maybe not. So I put it into English. And it's the same melody. So if you know the melody? Okay. So you can do that. All we need is a drummer. We have our qualified drummer. I'm sure there's a karto player in the house somewhere. You can keep a beat. There you are. So we can proceed. All right, start at D. I think a D will work for me. That's D. Between the two black keys? That's the D. Between the two black keys.
That's it.
Hey, actually, it's better. Try C. That's good. All right, so you ready? You can join, especially on the chorus. Now, wretched, foolish mind, just give up all deceit and worship Krishna's fearless lotus feet. Everyone. Oh, wretched, foolish mind, just give up all deceit and worship Krishna's fearless lotus feet. Don't waste this human life, stay close to devotees. Don't waste this human life, stay close to devotees and cross this worldly sea of miseries. And cross this worldly sea of miseries. My sleepless nights and days I simply spent in vain, beset by heat and cold and wind and rain. My sleepless nights and beset by heat and cold and wind and rain. While blindly serving cunning people steeped in sin. While blindly serving cunning people steeped in search of fleeting pleasures of the skin. In searching fleeting pleasures of the skin. Oh, wretched, foolish mind, just give up all deceit and worship Krishna's fearless lotus feet. Don't waste this human life, stay close to devotees. Don't waste this human life, stay close to devotees. And cross this worldly sea of misery. Oh, wretched, what joy is there in wealth and youth or sons and kin when I can see my life is tottering? What joy is there? Just like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. Just like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. Oh, mine, just serve the feet of Sri Hari. Oh, rich and foolish mind, just give up all deceit and worship Krishna's fearless lotus feet. Don't waste this human life, stay close to devotees. Don't waste this human life, stay close to devotees. And cross this worldly sea of miseries. And cross this worldly sea of miseries. Oh, I long to hear and chant about my Lord Hari. Remember him and serve him constantly. And pray to him and worship him and serve his feet. And pray to him and worship him and serve his feet. Become his friend and give myself complete. Oh, rich and foolish man, just give up all deceit and worship Krishna's fearless lotus feet. Oh, rich and foolish man, just give up all deceit Though it's this human life, stay close to devotee. Don't waste this human life, stay close to devotee. And cross this worldly sea of misery. And cross this worldly sea of misery. Go, Premanandi. So now, to return to our final two verses of the Krishna Katashtaka. In his next verse, Suta Goswami contrasts the ultimate benefit of chanting and hearing Krishna Katha with the benefit of nicely performing any other activity. So if you would join me, I'll say, you say, Yashak Shriyame Vaparishamakparo Varnashama Charata Paksutarishu Avismati Shrida Pada Padmayo Kunanuvada Shavanada Radibihi. The great endeavor one undergoes in executing the ordinary social and religious duties of the Varnashram system, in performing austerities, and in hearing from the Vedas, culminates only in the achievement of mundane fame and opulence. But by respecting and attentively hearing the recitation of the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord, the husband of the Goddess of Fortune, one can remember his lotus feet. And the word here is avismriti, which means always remembering, get constant remembrance of his lotus feet. Next. Back again to chapter 5 of the first canto, we find a similar verse in which Narada Muni contrasts the benefit of following Varnashram with that of taking up Krishna consciousness. Forgive the little spelling errors, it's in a rush. I say with me, after me, Tyaktva Swadharmam Chadanam Bhajan Hare Bhajan Hapakvo Tapate Tato Yadi Yatva kva bodrama bhura mushyakim kova ta apto bhajatam swadharmataha. One who has forsaken his material occupations to engage in the devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage, yet there is no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, though fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. Next. Prabhupada explains in his purport to this verse, in spite of all these instances of devotees falling down short of the goal, such as Bharata Maharaj and Chitraketu, the stress is given here to surrendering unto the lotus feet of the Lord, even if there is a chance of falling down. Because even though one falls down from the prescribed duties of devotional service, he will never forget the lotus feet of the Lord. Once engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, one will continue the service in all circumstances. Now that requires a little explanation. What I think is being referred to here is what Krishna talks about in the second chapter, Bhagavad Gita, Nehabukamanashusti Pratyabhaya Navidyate, that in this practice of devotional service, there's no loss or diminution. Now, I've had experience, and we have experience even in our own lives, perhaps, of taking up devotional service with great fervor, but then somehow something happens and we become a little less involved and we get a distance from the devotees. Sometimes I've seen devotees who've been very full-time devotees, and then something happens, and then for years and years, you don't hear of them. And they may or may not be practicing devotional service in any way. But then maybe they get some disease, some terminal disease, and then they come back into the association of devotees. In the last months or something, they're surrounded by devotees and their Krishna consciousness awakens to a large degree. So what it means there by, they never forget the lotus feet of the Lord, it means that remembrance is in there. is that once you take to Krishna consciousness, that is credit in the bank, the spiritual bank account, and it can't be lost. It may be eclipsed for some time, you're involved in other things, but at a certain point in this life or next life perhaps you'll come back to that point. So therefore, but any material thing you do, even if it's very so-called successful, you become a successful lawyer, a banker, anything very famous, all that is lost and wiped away when you leave this body, because it's attached to the body. So that's the contrast there. And so the idea, going back to the last verse of the Krishna Katashtaka, is that whatever benefits accrue, Varnashram Achata Shrutari Chu. He said Varnashram, or study of the Vedas, or severe austerities for some non-devotional reason. All that can simply produce fame and opulence, either in this life or the next. Did we lose our place? What happened? Oh yeah, go back. Okay, so this is where we were. And Prabhupada is explaining his purport to this. This is in the fifth chapter. So the how it pertains to us is that we should try as far as possible to increase our desire for hearing and chanting and advance in devotional service. And take the long view. You know, all of us are here for really just a few moments in this lifetime. But we have our free will, how we can direct our energy. So we should try to advance as far as possible in this lifetime. Hopefully, go back to Godhead. But if not, one or two lifetimes compared to the billions that we passed in complete ignorance, is still, everything is very positive as long as you stay in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, you're slowing your progress. That's all. Okay, next. So now, so we did that one. Next. Okay, so this is the verse we did next. We've kind of lost our place here. Okay. I said things that got mixed up. Are we going backwards or forward? We keep going. Okay. I think we're going backwards. You pressing the right button there? All right. Let me try. Forward. Yeah. Keep going. One more. That's the one. Okay, stop. Hare Krishna. I'm stuck here, so they went this. So okay. All right, so now, the ultimate benefit of hearing, and chanting Krishna Katha is constant remembrance of the lotus feet of the Lord, the inestimable value of which is stated in the final verse of the Krishna Katashtaka. This is the eighth verse. Avismati Krishna Padara Vindayo Chenotya Bodhani Chashantanoti Satvasya Shuddhim Padamatva Bhaktim Ganam Chavigyani Viraga Yuktam. Remembrance of Lord Krishna's lotus feet. So this very word is used in the previous verse, Avismati, but he used Sridhara Pada Padmayo. Now the name is Krishna. Krishna Padara Vindayo. Remembrance of Lord Krishna's lotus feet destroys everything inauspicious and awards the greatest good fortune, Sham. It purifies the heart and bestows devotion for the Supreme Soul, along with knowledge enriched with realization and renunciation. Okay, next. Next? Okay. So, in conclusion, constant remembrance of the Lord's lotus feet is the fruit of mature hearing and chanting, and the benefits of such constant remembrance are, 1, elimination of all anartas, 2, furtherance of all good fortune, 3, purification of one's existence, sattva shuddhim, achievement of pure devotion to Krishna, characterized by knowledge, realization, and detachment. So this is our Krishna Katashtaka. We have some more offerings, but if we want to have any discussion on these points, we're open to that now. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, sure.
It's in the third chapter. One seriously engages
in the where are you reading from?
11th canto, 3rd chapter, text 40.
Okay.
When one seriously engages in the devotional service of the personality of Godhead, fixing the Lord's lotus feet within one's heart is the only goal of life. One can destroy the innumerable impure desires lodged within the heart as a result of one's previous fruitive work within the three modes of material nature. When the heart is thus purified, one can directly perceive both the Supreme Lord and oneself as transcendental entities. Thus, one becomes perfect in spiritual understanding through direct experience, just as one can directly experience the sunshine through normal, healthy vision. So my question is, what does it mean to fix the Lord's lotus feet within one's heart? Is it actually referring to Krishna's actual lotus feet, or verses that glorify his beauty, or what does that actually mean?
What's the verse that's commenting on there?
This is 11.3.40.
Is that the yata yata pashyati?
No, this is yarha abjanabha charanai.
Okay, it sounds like a similar idea. Well, first of all, you know, Krishna is already there, right? Krishna's there, the super soul is there. But we can't see, we've forgotten. So fixing the heart fixing his lotus feet in the heart means to constantly remember Krishna in the heart, Krishna's lotus feet, and Krishna's whole personality. And as described, it sounds similar to what we're describing here, that remembrance is very powerful. It eliminates everything. It's just like what we've all experienced to some degree by hearing and chanting the holy name. That's our main sadhana, right? We're all here chanting, assumingly chanting 16 rounds or close to it, whatever. So that sound vibration is Krishna. And he's entering into our consciousness. Now, we all know that we're not 100% completely absorbed in that sound. As we were discussing, the different levels of remembrance, the different levels of absorption. So there's some static in there. So we're not experiencing all of the benefits that's described here. But when one's remembrance becomes steady, it's just like Krishna describes in the 6th chapter, you know, the steady remembrance with the lamp that's not moving. So that all one is thinking about, you know, is that the lotus feet there. And even in one's everyday life, this is the idea that you can still remember that. You know, it seems impossible because, the mind goes here and there. But if one attains a state of complete calmness because you're not at all attracted to try to enjoy the material energy, this is all in the Bhagavad Gita. You read chapter 2. What does it mean to become a sage of steady mind? You know, Arjuna asks the question. How does he walk? How does he move? What is his, you know, what is that? What's the first one? Prajahati yada kaman sarvan parta manogatan. You know, an injunction Krishna gives to give up all, you know, desires that arise from the mind. Sarvan parta, atmaneva anatushta, and be satisfied in the self. Well, for the bhakta, that means to be completely satisfied in the Supreme Self, in thinking of Krishna, glorifying Krishna, serving Krishna, being completely Krishna conscious. It's something like what you call shanta ras. That's a foundation of dasya, you know. All of the servants of Krishna, the pure servants, they completely meet the qualification of shantaras, meaning they're completely satisfied and blissful just thinking of Krishna, and there's not a tinge of material desire to take them away from Krishna. But on top of that, of course, they have an ardent desire to serve Krishna actively. But still, that remembrance is there. So it's that constant remembrance of Krishna's lotus feet. We can just imagine, because we do more than, you know, meditating on the form, although we do that with the deity in other ways. But just try to visualize or project what it would be like to hear every syllable of that Hare Krishna mantra for like 1 hour, 2 hours, you know, extended to your whole, where it's constant absorption in that. That's what means fixing those lotus feet in the heart. We referred to this morning with this progressive stages of remembrance. You know, the paragraph in the purport to the 8th verse of the Upadeshamrita, it nicely describes remembrance may be broken at certain times. You know, that's a certain stage. You know, that's recollection. You know, and it goes on, remembers me. And then it comes to entrance and samadhi, where there's actually no break to the remembrance. That's the way I understand this, you know. And that, just as we've experienced the purification of even imperfect chanting, you know, that desires for so many things. I mean, we have realization of this. You know, I do. You know, so many things you'd be attracted to before you began chanting, and now it just goes away. It's not there anymore. There's no desire for getting high, you know. I mean, I don't have a desire for getting high. I don't care what, you know, how good it is, you know, how wonderful. I mean, forget it. I don't even want to even know about it, you know. So that's a little bit of the benefit you can experience. And imagine if it's every possible tinge of material desire. Fame, you know, even the subtle desires aren't there. All you want to do is remember. This is very pertinent. I just recalled. In the 11th canto, in that same area, there's the nine yoginis. One of them is describing the different levels of devotees. The famous, you know, the Uttama Bhakta, the Madhyama Bhakta, and the Kanishta Adhikari. So after describing that, then he just has several more verses describing the Uttama Adhikari, Uttama Bhakta. And at the end, there's three verses. And the first one is very pertinent. Actually, all three of those are very pertinent because it talks about the lotus feet. So listen to this now. He says, here's the characteristics of the Uttama Bhakta. Tribhuvana vibhavaheta vepa kunta smitada chitabma sodadi mireva vrigyat. Nachalati bhagavat pavdada vinda lavandam asardam apayaksa vaishnavagraha. I call this Bhishma's meter. This is when Bhishma was passing away, he got into this meter, very nectar meter. So what this means is that those who have unbroken remembrance of the lotus feet of Krishna, this is the characteristic of the Uttama Bhakta, they wouldn't trade that remember, even for a split second, lavandamishardam, a half of a split second, to agree to forget those feet, those lotus feet, for all the wealth in the three worlds. Somebody just, they just had this big maha, what do they call, lottery, you know? That's about, oh my God, $650 million, you know? So who can imagine, you know? And it was split in half, but still it's a lot of money. He said, forget that. That's nothing. You know, all the wealth in the three worlds, Indraloka, up to cities, forget it. For all that wealth, even to forget the Lord's feet for a split second. And then he goes on. And he says, why is that? Because Bhagavata Uddhavukka Mangishaka Nakamandi Chandrakayana Dastatape Vidikatamupasi Dhambanaksa Sabhavati Bhagavata. No. I forget the last line exactly. So he says, for one who's meditating on these lotus feet, which themselves perform wonderful activities, Uru Vikrama, you know, specifically like shooting a hole in the universe with Vamana, that is an activity of the lotus feet. So one who's, there's no trace of suffering left. Every trace of it is gone. And so, Why would anyone leave those lotus feet? In other words, and how could there ever be any more suffering coming in? Because of the effulgence emanating from the toenails of those lotus feet. Is like, just like the moonshine. He describes it like, suppose you're out in the desert. You don't have so much experience here, but I live in San Diego. It's right near a desert. So if I go a little bit east in the summertime, suddenly it's like 120 degrees and there's no water, you know. So imagine you're walking, you know, and somehow you survive, and then You're okay, the sun is going down, thank God, you know. And up comes this beautiful full moon, soothing, cooling, with the cooling rays. So that's the effulgence emanating from the toenails of the lotus feet of the Lord. There's a lot about that effulgence in the Bhagavatam. So with that kind of soothing, you know, nectar, why would he ever, you know, leave the lotus feet? And then the last verses, this is the last verse of the chapter, of the section. Visujati vidhiham niyasya sakshat bhada dabashaba hadaubya gaganasha. And pranayabhasanada dridangri padma sabhavati bhagavata pradhana ukta. So he says, now Krishna is so merciful that even if someone indifferently chants his holy name once, he removes scads of sinful reactions. We know that, right? So what to speak of? This is the answer. He's so kind and compassionate. What to speak of the devotee who's always thinking of his lotus feet? Such a devotee, Krishna can never leave the heart of such a devotee, because the devotee has tied Krishna there to his heart with the ropes of love. The praniyavasaniya. Praniyavasaniya means the ropes of love. This is the characteristic of the pure devotee. So the idea is that by our own efforts, as inspired and empowered by Krishna himself, the spiritual master, we can perform sadhana bhakti. And if we do it properly, and we continue in, you know, humbly praying for the power, we can advance to the point, hopefully this life, or maybe maybe one life later, to that we'll have to come to this point of constant remembrance and reach this state. That's the way I understand it. Yeah, go ahead.
Sir, so it seems to me, based on the verse you were sharing and also this verse from the Bhagavatam, that what's actually cleansing the heart is that remembrance of Krishna. So then are we to understand then, as we're doing our various activities throughout the day, that actually the purification really happens when the mind is able to connect what we're doing with Krishna? Or if we're not able to do that, will we just get very little purification?
Well, purification is going on. Krishna's doing it, you know. That's there. Srinvatam Sukata Krishna Punyashavana Kirtana. Prophets point out in this verse, Krishna's in the nominative. Quote. He actually used that word. Meaning that he's the subject of the sentence. That when he sees, because he's in the heart, he sees everything. When he sees the devotee nicely hearing his kata, Srinvatam Swakata, that swa refers to Krishna. Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, which is, brings piety just by hearing and chanting. It's so purified. Then, Ridyantaksto Yubadrani Vidunoti Surit Satam. He's the friend. He's the dear friend of such a devotee, of all of his devotees. And he cleanses away the abhadras in the heart. He's doing the cleansing. But it happens when we make the effort to hear and chant and remember. You know, hearing and chanting is ultimately not different from remembering. When you're nicely hearing and chanting, you're obviously absorbed. But the whole idea is that if you do it nicely, even when you're not actively hearing and chanting, the remembrance will continue. That's the point. And so, you know, we're making the effort to remember, and then when we are able to do that, then we can experience Krishna cleaning up all this other stuff. Okay, anyone else? I'm sorry? Yes. Subtle and automatic? Is that the question?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is actually what this whole Krishna Katashika is about. He's talking about hearing, right, and chant. Sankirtyamano Bhagavan Ananta. So the first verse talks about that. When we're nicely glorifying and hearing Shuta, you know, the powerful activities of Krishna, the name, form, all of the Krishna Katha, then pravishya chittam, Krishna enters into the heart. Now, of course, we know he's over there, but it means that he manifests. We can understand, we can feel his effect in the heart. And he's enlightening us. He's wiping away the abhadras, the impurities. So the mature, you know, one of the mature fruits of nicely hearing and chanting is remembrance. It naturally follows. Now, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't also make an effort to remember, but they're kind of, I was just reading it this morning, that hearing and chanting, it was in the commentary by Vishwanath Chakrabarty, that remembering implies hearing and chanting. And good hearing and chanting, you know, results in remembering. They really go together. If you're actually hearing, then you're actually remembering, right? If you're chanting or hearing someone else speak about Krishna, and you're actually hearing with this ardent hearing, shushushro, this is what we heard this morning, very great receptivity, then that's, you're remembering. But the idea is that the consciousness is meant to become so purified that even when you're not in that circumstance where the hearing and chanting is going on, the remembrance is continuing. The remembrance is continuing. Because what else are you going to think about? In other words, what is it that impels the mind to think about something else? Well, some desire to think about something else, or some memory may be coming up that you want to dwell on, right? But if you've been truly purified, and remember all of the attractive features of the sound vibration, right? So that's Krishna. And if the mind is now purified, it will be naturally drawn to Krishna. Think of Prahlad. Prahlad, you know, he couldn't stop thinking of Krishna. It describes that his mind was just like a iron, and Krishna is the magnet. You know? Zoop! You know, he was completely absorbed, no matter what his father did. I mean, what could be more distracting than to be thrown into a boiling vat of oil? That's pretty distracting for the mind, you know? But still, you know, he's completely absorbed. And that's why he's protected. You know, he had a Shakti was protecting him. So the idea is that there's a natural maturity. There's a synergy that takes place between proper hearing and chanting from the right source, you know, and the remembrance. And we'll find that, I'll just give you a verse. The ideal, you know, in every case, the bhaktas, the ideal is always the gopis, right? So the gopis have this mood, you know, there's many different varieties of the moods where they want to try to forget Krishna. So there's a verse like that in the Krishna Karanamrita. Kame hikunamak kasya bruma kutum kutamashaya. Katayata katamunyam dunyam maho ridiyeshaya. Modala modalasmayara kare manonayanotsave. Kupana kupana krishne tishna chidam vatalambate. You heard this one before? So one gopi speaking to another. He says, okay, let everything I've done so far, Krishna's separated from the gopis. So let everything we've done so far to try to be with Krishna be finished. Enough already. Speak about something auspicious, but not about Krishna. Katiyata katam anyam danyam. Say something other than. But then he says, oh ho, vidayeshya. But oh my goodness, he's in my heart. Morada morada smera kane banote. You know, that sweet smiling form is in my heart. And he's a festival for my mind. And then kripana kripana krishne tishna tadanda. This wretched desire to meet Krishna is increasing at every moment, you know what I mean? So you'll find like that, you know, that they can't stop thinking of Krishna. And we're just the opposite. We can't think of Krishna. So we have to train up where the mind is naturally Krishna conscious, which is its natural state, you know. And then the remembrances flows. Okay. Shall we move on to our little poetic interlude? It's not an interlude. This is basically what we have left. Poetic coda, I call it. So what we have are ones that we haven't done yet, at least this year. Keep going. All right, so I think we did Kevalashtakam, but just like the holy name is ever fresh, I think you'll enjoy it. Some of you probably haven't seen it yet. So this is, before we begin, this is a nice poem, Ashtakam, as it says, 8 verses, by an anonymous author. You'll find that often in the writings. There's a whole book called the Hari Bhakti Kalpa Latika, which is such a nectarian book. It goes through the 9 processes of devotional service and gives you practical verses for doing each one. That Bhaktivinoda Thakur discovered it and he printed it. Didn't know who wrote it. And when Bhaktisiddhanta also kept it in print, and Kushikrata translated it. So this is a similar thing, you know, that Pajavali is filled with anonymous verses that Rupa Goswami relished so much. And this is a very wonderful song. It was first popularized, it came into ISKCON through Prabhupada's godbrother, Akinchana Krishnadas Babaji. He would chant, we have recordings of him doing kirtan and then stopping and chanting some of these verses. So this is, and it's real sweet. I think you'll like it. So what we'll do, where's our musician? Hare Krishna. So the best thing is that we'll chant, if you like, we can chant along for the Sanskrit, and just slow without, you know, and then we'll do the song, the verses in song, and then we'll stop again, do a little, maybe one or two, kirtan. We have a little time. Oh no, we're running short. Look. And then we'll go on to the next verse. It's very simple. So just give me a note, the D, I think. Prabhu, we're going to need you to eventually. Madhuram madhurebhyopi mangalebhyopi mangalam bhavanam bhavanebhyopi hare namaiva kevalam. of sweet things. It's the sweetest you will taste at any time. Of things that bring good fortune, it's the perfect paradigm. Of things that purify, it purifies most powerfully. The holy name of Shihari is surely all that be. The holy name of Shihari is surely all that be. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Ram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Abrahmastam Paryantam Savam Mayamayam Jagat Satyam Satyam Punak Satyam Hare Namaiva Kevalam Hare Namaiva Kevalam. From Brahma's realm atop the sky down to the lowly grass, illusion reigns in Maya Devi's treacherous morass. The truth, the only truth, the name of Shihari, the holy name of Shihari is surely all that be. The holy name of Shihari, surely all that be. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Saguru Supita Chapi, Samata Bandavopisa, Shikshi Chitadasmatum, Hare Namaiva Kevalam, Hare Namaiva Kevalam. He's the Guru, he's the Father, he's the friend most true, and she's the real mother who most kindly teaches you to always chant and hear the holy name of Shihari. The holy name of Shihari is surely all that be. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Vikshvase nahi vishvaso, kadarudho bhavishyati, kirtane amato balyad, Hare Namaiva Kevalam, Hare Namaiva Kevalam. Remember that our final breath may come at any time, no matter if we're old and sick or in our youthful prime. So young and old alike should chant the name incessantly. The holy name of Shihari is surely all that be. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hari Sadavase Tatra Yatram Bhagavata Jana Gayanti Bhakti Bhavena Hare Namaiva Kevalam Hare Namaiva Kevalam. Lord Sri Hari forever dwells wherever devotees whose hearts are fixed on Him and free of all impurities uplift their voice and high and sing His name in ecstasy. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Aho dukkam mahadukkam dukkha dukkha taram yata kachatam vismatam ratna hare nama eva kevalam hare nama eva kevalam. Alas, what sorrow, what great pain, the worst calamity for people to forget the holy name of Shri Hari. Although the name's a priceless gem, mere broken glass they see, the holy name of Shri Hari is surely all that be. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Bol, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Diyatam, diyatam karno, niyatam, niyatam vachaha. Giyatam, giyatam nityam, Hare Nama eva kevalam, Hare Nama eva kevalam. Just fill your ears, just fill them with the name of Sri Hari. Just chant the name with all sincerity. Just sing the holy name eternally. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Bol, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Trinikritya jagat sarvam rajate sakalopari charanandamayam shuddham hare nama eva kevalam hare nama eva kevalam. It makes this world appear like bits of straw upon the ground. Resplendently it reigns supreme, divinity and sound. It's filled with transcendental bliss and peerless purity. The holy name of Shri Hari is surely all that be. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Inspired to glorify the holy name of Shri Hari, a certain sage composes hymn in Sanskrit poetry. I pray that those who read this lowly version made by me will chant the holy name of Shri Hari in ecstasy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Premanande. So we have a few minutes left. I have a few more verses that I put into poetry. I think you'll enjoy. The first one is also about the holy name. I'm sure you heard this one before. Radheti nama navasundada siru mugdham Krishneti nama madurabhata garadugdham Savakshanam sadaviragahimena ramyam kutvata daiva pibame vasanechadharte. An excellent fresh nectar drink with endless subtle tastes, such as the name of Radha, by whom all three worlds are graced. Condensed milk that is wonderfully delicious, thick and sweet, such as the name of Krishna, in whom all attractions meet. Now mix these drinks, O thirsty tongue, and add the fragrant ice of love, a prize the wise will try to buy at any price. And then at every moment, drink this beverage most fine, and make my heart supremely blissful, peaceful, and divine. Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bhav. That is Raghunath Das Goswami. This one has a nice beat to it. Get a little beat. Just give me a little beat. Anything, just something like that. Boom, 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 boom. Something. You'll see. All right, I'll start. I'll do it twice. Everybody. Keep on. Upon his chest is manifest the mark of Goddess Sri, and there to rest the best of wreaths, a temple for the bees, who worship him by singing hymns that limn his loving play, while Sri Hari most gleefully acclaims the way they pray. For Braja's love mad milkmaids and for all the Brahmins' wives, Sri Krishna is the ultimate good fortune in their lives. His sandal-paste anointed limbs bedim the full moon's glow. Unto the lotus feet of Sri Hari I bow down low. Everyone. Rupa rap. of which the present version is a very, very perverted reflection. I think you'll all agree. Okay, next. What do we got next? Okay, so this is a beautiful prayer to have the lotus face of Krishna manifest in the lake of one's heart. Smita duti makadanda syandi vatrara vindam tapapatapata hansan vishtagandham mukunda didachita pashupali netra saranga rangam mamadidiyata dagi sangamangi karotu. From the lotus of your face, dear Lord, trickles forth the luscious nectar of the beauty of your smile. Your exalted devotees, great swans, seek the fragrance of that lotus which does e'er their hearts beguile. Your beloved gopis' eyes, mad bees, taste the most exquisite pleasure in that lotus of your face. O my dear Mukunda Dev, I pray, may the lake of my poor heart be by that lotus ever graced. That is a very nice prayer you can offer to Kishore and have his face manifest in your heart. Next. Oh, this is a verse you can offer every morning to Radha and Krishna. I do during the greeting. Also, you say, Pashupala Vadinya Nandanao. Pashupala Vadinya Nandanao. Vadametam Maharata Yehuvam. Bhavatu Panaya Bhave Bhave. Bhavatore Vapadam Bujeshume. O Radha Krishna, children of the best of cowherd men, this single boon I beg from you again and yet again. In all the countless births my endless sins will make me meet, may all my love flow toward your luscious, lustrous lotus feet. Can you repeat with me? I'll say, you say. O Radha Krishna, children of the best of cowherd men, this single boon I beg from you again and yet again. In all the countless births, my endless sins will make me meet. May all my love flow toward your luscious, lustrous lotus feet. Thank you very much. I think we have one or two more. We have a few minutes to Liati. Oh, this is a prayer to hear the flute. Very nice. Jagadud nhada madhuri dhuri na madhuna mandida mindara durapa namatarsh badamudanta katvan mulali na rasudhaduni dunitam. Your flute sends forth a flood of nectar sound, a river where the sweetest sweetness lies. Indeed, no better beverage can be found. Yet even Shri can't drink it, though she tries. O Krishna, kindly hear this desperate plea from one now deep in misery immersed. Please let my ears drink in that melody so that my heart may slake its burning thirst. All these poems, by the way, are on the Nectar Poem CD. I don't know if we have any left. The text is there as well as the sound. Okay, this is a nice little story behind this. I have 2 minutes and then I think it's one of the last ones. Actually, I don't have time for the story, but this is a verse about how those who immerse themselves in hearing and chanting about Krishna don't even feel like it's Kali Yuga. They're immune to the difficulties of Kali Yuga. Also, you say, Aho Aho Bir Nakale Viduyate Sudha Sudhara Madodam Pade Pade Dine Dine Chandana Chandra Sheetalam Yesho Yeshoda Tanayasya Giyate. Because at every step they drink a flood of wondrous nectar sweet, whose cooling power, sandal paste enhanced with camphor, can't defeat. They feel as if the raging blaze of Kali's days had ne'er begun. How blessed they are who fill their days with praise of Sri Yashoda's son. Is that you understand? Okay, one more. I think there's one or two more in here. Okay, this may be the last. Now this is a very interesting verse. The meter is all heavy syllables, all long. You don't have to worry about the meter, it's very simple. So you can chant along, you just read. Barha pidam maulau bimbran vangshi nadan atanvan nana kalpa shri sampanno gopastri bisambita netanandam kuvan krishna tvam chet asman viksheta sarve kama sampadyeran asmakam vinyasina. Could there be an easier meter? Peacock plumes bedeck your crown, enchanting songs with flute you sing, wearing lovely ornaments while standing in the gopi's ring. Dear most Krishna, eyes delight if you would kindly glance our way. All our heart's desires would be fulfilled on this most blessed day. One more? Or maybe that's the end. Oh, here's one. This is a prayer. Now notice every word begins with M. This is very hard to do. This is Rupa Goswami poetry. Madhudesha madhudi mayamadhava mudhudi muttalika mugdha. Oh no. Madhudesha madhudi mayamadhava mudhudi muttalika mugdha. Mama madana mohana mudama dihi manaso maha maha moham. Now I couldn't do that in English. I tried a little bit, but O master of Mathura, lovely lord of goddess Shri, who plays such maddening melodies upon your murali. O Cupid's charmer, please redeem a life till now misspent by joyfully destroying my extreme bewilderment. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Okay, that is the end, and we're ready for the aarti. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hari Hari Bol.